Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the death of Versace. We want to take a moment to thank Alarmy listeners, A.E. Delaney and Deputy Chris, for this recommendation. Here's what you need to know.
I just care about people and the way they have to dress. I think there is a part of education in my work. You have to understand, to believe, and to communicate to the people what you think, what is your philosophy. That is the part I like of my work.
Gianni Versace was an Italian designer whose eponymous luxury brand was at the height of its popularity when he was murdered on July 15, 1997. He was a visionary and idol to many, particularly his gay fans, a mainstay of the international party scene who rubbed elbows with the likes of Princess Diana, Madonna, and Elton John. But Versace's glamorous life was tragically cut short thanks to a seemingly random passerby outside of his home in Miami, a man who was in fact one of the most wanted fugitives in America at the time. Andrew Cunanan was born in California to a Filipino-American father and Italian-American mother in 1969. His father, a former U.S. Navy serviceman turned stockbroker, spoiled Cunanan and instilled high levels of bravado and materialism in his son. By the time he was in middle school, he was already showing signs of the pathological liar he would become. By several accounts, Cunanan was a highly intelligent college dropout who would methodically hunt for sugar daddies to fund his lifestyle. Between April and July of 1997, Andrew Cunanan embarked on a killing spree that would leave 5 men dead, including Gianni Versace. His first victim was Jeffrey Trail, Cunanan's so-called best friend. He was found beaten to death with a claw hammer shortly after moving to Minneapolis for a new job. His body was rolled up in a rug in the loft of his friend, David Madsen, who happened to be an ex-lover of Cunanan's. On Monday, April 28th, David Madsen failed to show up to work, though he had been seen walking his dog with Cunanan earlier that day. 5 days later, his body was found on the shore of East Rush Lake, with gunshot wounds to his head and back. On May 4th, Lee Miglin, a 72-year-old real estate mogul, was found dead in the garage of his Chicago home, viciously stabbed with a screwdriver and his throat cut with a chainsaw. Miglin fit the profile of a sugar daddy target, though his family vehemently denied that Miglin would have known Cunanan. On May 9th, Cunanan shot 45-year-old William Reese in the head at the Finns Point National Cemetery in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, where Reese worked as a caretaker. Reese's red pickup truck was missing when his body was found the next day. In its place was a green Lexus with Illinois plates that had been stolen from Lee Miglin's garage. By June 12th, Cunanan was named one of the FBI's 10 Most Wanted Fugitives, which was broadcast nationally on America's Most Wanted. Cunanan was now in Miami, where he made little attempts to fly under the radar, going out at night and even using his own name to pawn items stolen from his victims. He remained elusive to authorities for over a month after making the Most Wanted list, allowing him to make one last kill. The morning of July 15 was just like any other for Gianni Versace. He woke up early and went to his local cafe to get some magazines. Around 8:45 that morning, he returned to his Mediterranean-style mansion and was unlocking the front gate when he encountered Cunanan. Almost immediately, Cunanan shot Versace 2 times in the head, then fled the scene, leaving an international icon for dead and many unanswered questions in his wake. Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. 28-year-old Jeffrey Trail, whom Cunanan referred to as his best friend, and 33-year-old David Madsen, considered the great unrequited love of Cunanan's life, were murdered in May of 1997 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Real estate tycoon Lee Miglin was found stabbed to death in his garage in Chicago at the age of 72. William Reese, considered by experts to be a functional homicide, was shot at the Civil War cemetery where he worked, likely for his red pickup truck rather than for personal reasons like the first 3 victims. Fashion mogul Gianni Versace was shot in front of his Miami home at the age of 50 on July 15, 1997. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, Alarmy. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Clayton's going to be filling in for producer Amanda. We also have with us fact checker Chris Smith.
Hey, are you as excited about me as you are about...
And our very special guest today is my friend, writer-director, Francisco Cabrera Feo. Hi, Fran.
Hey, y'all. Thank you for having me.
Do you like how I gave you a little bit of a Spanish flair?
Absolutely. We have to give it, you know, the respect it deserves, my ancestors.
Everyone needs to follow Fran on Twitter. His Twitter handle is I am Fran Cabrera. You know, you've got jokes, you've got industry insider information.
What? I got a lot of therapist jokes and a lot of horny jokes. That's kind of my two sides.
That's your brand.
Yeah.
We're here for that. We're here for it.
Now, Fran, we like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's keeping you up at night?
Yeah, I mean, specifically this week, I found out, like, families coming to LA to visit me, which...
Ooh, terrifying.
Very terrifying, because there was no warning. They just kind of...
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, it's great, you know, I haven't seen them in like a year, and I just know that, you know, we kind of let ourselves go a little bit through the pandemic, right? We ate a little bit more. Maybe we ordered, you know, Uber Eats for every meal.
every meal.
Listen, it's my approach to things. So I just know, like, Latino families are the first thing that they're going to say is going to be like, oh, Francisco, you know, you got a little chubbier.
Oh.
So that's the alarm in my head.
Yeah, there's like, you can't escape that initial comment of, it's good to see you. Wow, you've gained weight.
Yes, that is, it is the hello of the Latino community.
It's the warm welcome. That's right.
Yeah. The big eyes.
Do you know how you're going to respond to it? Sounds like you already know how you might. First of all, do you know how you're going to respond to it emotionally? And then do you know how you're going to literally, what you're going to say back to them? How you're going to, let me put it in the kid, younger person terms. Are you going to clap back?
Thank you for putting it in my terms. Thank you.
you're a lot younger than we are.
That's funny. My therapist asked the same question yesterday. So we're on the same page. I think, you know, it was about walking in to, you know, to that brunch that we're going to see each other at with confidence. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, maybe some prepared shade. Maybe I can tear them down before they tear me down. You know.
Yes.
A
preemptive strike is what they call that.
That's
right. In military terms.
So we have to get started because there's so much that we have to cover here. And this is just the perfect segue into the death of Gianni Versace. It's not the perfect segue, but
smooth
we're
as butter.
Yeah, Rebecca always says that.
Okay, so extremely sad. You know, one of the greats here. Here's a little snippet from biography.com, just so we get in the Versace mood. In 1978, Gianni Versace had a vision for a new fashion line and opened his first boutique in Milan. By 97, he had 130 high-end boutiques around the world and was a global fashion titan worth $807 million. He's sitting on the top of high stakes empire, which he ran with his sister Donatella and his brother Santo. Versace needed a place where he could retreat and relax, and in a trip to Miami South Beach in 91, he found his haven. Versace just had wildly successful showing in Paris of his Atelier Versace Fall 1997 couture collection with Naomi Campbell front and center. So he's on top of the world right now. He had come back to his Florida mansion to relax with his partner of 11 years, Antonio D'Amico. At around 8:30 a.m., Versace took a stroll, as he often did, and he went to the News Cafe located about 0.3 miles south of his house. So literally, he goes around the corner. Versace goes home and started opening the gate to his oasis. He hadn't been gone long. It was still before 9 a.m. D'Amico was just inside sipping coffee on the veranda near the entrance. Before he could step inside, a stranger comes out of nowhere. He's dressed in a gray t-shirt, black shorts, a white hat. He's carrying a backpack. He's got a .40 caliber handgun. I always say these guns wrong. He shot two bullets into the back of the head of the global icon in point blank range. Mm-hmm. Eyewitness A.D. Bianchi was at an inline skating shop nearby. So funny, it's South Beach, so it's an inline skating shop nearby.
They were really popular at the time.
They were.
Right?
It's 97, yeah.
I remember that was because that was my roller hockey phase. Anybody else go through one of those?
Nope.
I can get into it now, though, if you think it'd make us closer.
Let's go get some inline skates and get started.
He ran toward the direction of the shot, and he, quote, "We were right there watching, and there was nothing you can do," he told the New York Times. His blood was coming out like crazy. Oh, he shook a little bit and stopped moving. Inside the gates, an ominous feeling immediately came over D'Amico. I felt as if my blood had turned to ice. Mm-hmm. He told the Observer, according to the Guardian, he and his butler jumped up. The house had stained glass windows, so we couldn't see and had to what had happened outside, so we had to open the gate. Since he shot in such close range, eyewitnesses saw Cunanan running, and the clothes he was wearing were found by a red truck in a parking garage nearby. So, terrible loss. Traumatic, not just, I mean, sad for Versace, traumatic for all of those who loved him, and also for the community.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very impactful moment for not just the, you know, South Beach community, not just the gay community, but for a lot of Miamians who were nearby and felt like terrorized, because as we all know, Cunanan didn't get caught, and we'll talk about this later, but he didn't get caught right away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it took about 8 days for him to get caught by police. So in our mind, we have a terrible serial killer on the loose.
Right. And there's something so familiar and pedestrian about somebody getting up in the morning to go for a walk to the newsstand and get coffee and get a newspaper and sort of return. So it's
crazy to think that someone could just, you know, like you kill such an icon, like a big, you know, a mogul, and then just for like 8 days they're just hanging out.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's why I could never be a serial killer.
That's the only reason.
The downtime.
That's. The post. I would just feel so terrible. No, I could never do it.
It's very Florida. I'll tell you, this is hanging out for 8 days after killing somebody. Very Florida of the story.
On the beach, just like getting some sun.
So let's start by putting in up. We have to put Cunanan up on the board. And there's something the other thing I wanted to say was not only was he this, you know, incredibly talented designer, but he was also a real family man. You know, he had built this empire from the ground up with his sister and his brother. I mean, it was very much a family, nowadays we would have called it like a family-run business, a small family-run business.
Oh, yes. You know? Support small business. Versace.
But like at one time, it was a family, small family-run business in Milan. You know, it's just so sad. Okay, we're going to go
Fran. Fran showed us that he has a Versace.
Oh, yeah.
Cologne. Yes. You know how like most kids wore Axe in middle school? For some reason,
yeah, sure.
Okay, all right.
No, I remember Axe. I remember Axe. There you go. It was oppressive.
Well, what's it called? My father and I shared the same cologne, and it was a little Versace cologne.
Nice.
And I've been wearing it for, you know, middle school, high school, and now when people tell me they smell it like somewhere, they text me and they're like, "Fran, it smells like you." So I got some connection to the story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You live in our hearts and in our nose.
Yes.
Yeah. You're a young Versace, Fran.
Yes. I mean, I'll tell you, hearing you talk through this story, I solely picture the cast of Ryan Murphy's Versace story.
Same.
I am picturing Edgar Ramirez when you talk about Versace, Penelope Cruz. I know I can't blame Darren Criss for the death of Versace, but I do blame him. I do blame him for taking yet another gay role.
I am throwing him on the board. Agreed.
Thank you.
Okay, so the first thing on the board is Darren Criss before Andrew Cunanan. Yes. Is what you're telling me.
I'm going to move him to the top of the list if you think so, Raybe.
So let's. Okay, thank you. You've said you've proved your point about Darren Criss. Now let's talk about Andrew Cunanan. And I was going to put up the thrill of the hunt. So this is according to Vanity Fair. The weekend before Cunanan left California for Minnesota, where he probably murdered both Mattson and Trail, signs were mounting that he was spiraling out of control. On April 18, Cunanan was in San Francisco and ran into his old friend John Samura at the Midnight Sun, a gay bar, where he showed him a flyer for an S&M party he was planning to attend the next night. The two later argued, this is a quote, "He grabbed me around the neck so hard he was choking me by his grip," recalls Samaru, I'm saying that wrong, who angrily told Cunanan, "Andrew, you're really hurting me. Stop it." Something had snapped in him. Now I realized the guy was hunting. He was getting the thrill of the hunt, the thrill of the kill. I saw it in his eyes. I saw it in his body. He had stepped over the edge. So a few things had happened to Cunanan before he decided to leave California and go to Minnesota. He had, you know, and we'll talk about this a little later, he had always been kept by these sugar daddies, right? He had always been in relationships with these older men who would pay for very expensive things. And there's this story about him wanting a Beamer. He wanted a BMW. And his lover at the time said to him, no, it gave him an Infiniti instead. And Cunanan went up to him and said, if I don't get a Beamer, I'm leaving. And his, you know, boyfriend said, well, then go. And that was the end of that relationship. I guess he had finally had it with Cunanan.
You have to draw a line somewhere.
He did. And, you know, he had given him an Infiniti.
I'll take an Infiniti now.
Right?
So he was depressed about, apparently he was depressed about this relationship. He had lost his, you know, bank account, essentially. There were a few things that had happened with his family. He was kind of spiraling for a while. There are accounts, and we'll also talk about this later, that he had started doing drugs. He had started getting into crystal meth.
Yeah. A lot of this behavior, I don't know. My mind went to drugs.
Interesting. How come?
Well, I don't know. That scene with him grabbing the neck of his friend, it just seemed he was roiding out or something like that. Like, it just seemed like something that he just seemed, I don't know, just seemed like.
Is there room for drugs on the board, you think? Is there that much?
There's always room for drugs. Guys, don't do drugs. Definitely don't do crystal meth. Def.
Rebecca's famously known for doing drugs.
No.
It's on the record now.
Yes.
So I had also heard that I had heard it in a podcast that he had thrown himself a good going away party before he left to Minnesota, but he didn't tell his friends like why he was going there, which to me is very like, what kind of I guess bad friends maybe we put up on the board. Because if I'm a friend, I'm like, hey buddy, what's up? Why are you giving all of your stuff away and you're moving to Minnesota? Like, you're okay? You got anything going on? Why are you going to Minnesota?
Yeah, what's in Minnesota?
That's the first question I ask when I show up to the going away party, right?
Yeah, especially if you just found out, you're like, why are we here?
I was thinking, like, also just, and obviously this does not excuse his behavior, obviously, but I do think, like, there's an aura of, like, him killing a lot of gay men and him being gay himself, that, like, there's some internalized homophobia in this. I can't pinpoint it, but it's just, I mean, I just, you know, homophobia and internalized homophobia, like, if the world, I think, had accepted people more openly, I think a lot of folks wouldn't have, you know, I feel very much like Mr. Ripley vibes from this. So, you know, I think that's, you know, that's something to blame for sure.
I do know. And I think we need to put homophobia up on the board. I think not only is there some internalized homophobia, but there's also like in the how it was dealt with, how the crimes were dealt with. There was also I read a lot of homophobia, you know, because if this had been, I don't know.
Talk about in the news?
Not just in the news. I just mean like from local police officials and the kind of like manpower that people put towards, like, I don't know, other victims of crime. Hmm. You know what I mean? It was like, this is a serial killer, but he's only targeting gay men. And so perhaps, I don't know, this is my feeling. It feels like it was just put down on the ladder of importance.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about Cunanan's father and, you know, because Cunanan himself was out. He was famously out, like, since he was in high school. But he had come from a religious family. His dad was Filipino. His mom was Sicilian. It wasn't from what all I've heard, it was not a good relationship. It was not a happy home. This is according to Vanity Fair, and we can put Cunanan's father and the myth of the American dream up on the board.
Let's blame dads. I love that.
Moms, you know, moms get a lot of heat, but I think dads need to get heat as well.
Mm. I agree.
Properly.
That is equality. That is the dream.
So this is according to Vanity Fair. I don't think you can understand Andrew without understanding his dad, said writer and executive producer of The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story, Tom Rob Smith. Quote, his dad had the spectacular rise. He came to America from the Philippines and served in the U.S. Navy. I think he worked through a night college to get his trader's license and got the extraordinary job working at Merrill Lynch in San Diego. It was this amazing ascent, and then he burnt out when Andrew's father was caught in what looked like to be fraudulent trading activity. He fled to Manila, reportedly leaving his wife, Marianne, with $700 worth. So this is apparently true. He just sold the house, took the money, didn't tell anyone.
Oh my goodness.
And left the entire, abandoned the entire family. Orth said, quote, the experience was clearly shattering for Andrew, whose image of his dad as a powerful and reliable protector was smashed. Afterward, Andrew flew to the Philippines and tracked down his father, where he found the person he once believed to be a mythic figure living in squalor. When Andrew saw the crude poverty in which his father was living, a driving madness took over his mind. One of Andrew's teachers told Orth, Smith also believes that Andrew's trip to the Philippines was a critical turning point. Mm. I think at this point, if Andrew had accepted that his dad was a fraud, embraced it on some level, and said, this is what life is, complicated, he'd come back to the States having learned from the experience, said Smith. He could have done something interesting with his life. Instead, he comes back and continues his lies, telling people, my dad is rich, and keeping up the pretense. To me, though, that was the breaking point in his brain. At that point, there's no going back. Andrew goes through the exact same trajectory as his dad, explained Smith. He had his own rise, finding these wealthy, affluent older men that he's living with.
There you go.
He ended up in a multi-million dollar condo in La Jolla, this beautiful paradise, living with Norman Blatchford, a man who loved him. He's given an allowance, traveling to the south of France, and he throws it all away because he can't tolerate the notion that he's a kept man. He leaves and moves into a small place in Hillcrest and descends through crystal meth until he's lost everything. Drugs.
Drugs.
Throw childhood trauma up there if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Abandonment issues.
Abandonment. He's also, you know, someone that is really obsessed with fame. I don't know if it's maybe a celebrity worship. Yes, Fran, you
look. I have a term that I thought about.
Tell me.
Clout chasing.
Heads up.
Oh, I love it.
We got a new term on the Alarmist. It's clout, it's so fun.
Chasing. What is it?
Yes.
Clout chasing.
Okay.
Now tell us about this new term, Fran.
Say more.
To say I did not make this term up, but it is a term. It is a term that I think fits this. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, it's this, you know, it's a search for more. It's a search for superfluousness and extra materialistic stuff, and whatever attention that comes with it. So yeah, I would put that on the board, and I would, you know, blame Y'all always blame capitalism. Blame capitalism for that.
Whoa.
Thank you.
All right.
My favorite guest.
You just made a fan. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like he was looking to be famous. And he didn't leave a note, you know, in the end when he...
He knew who Versace was, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And he obviously targeted him at that sort of during this rampage he was on.
Yes, absolutely. He definitely...
I don't know why.
No. And that's one of the things about this tragedy is that it feels so like... Why did that have to happen? It's by chance. Not that it's by chance because it was targeted, but it, like, we just don't know when that time will come or who's the serial killer around the corner. If there's a serial killer around the corner.
That's so true. I mean, there really could be at any moment.
I will say, if I die, I do want to have my butler there.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. What's your butler's name?
I don't know. What's Versace's butler's name? I want to have him there.
Same guy.
I do not have a butler on the record. I do not have a butler.
There was a... allegedly, they had met Versace and Cunanan back in October of 1990.
Yes. Apparently, there was this Met... Or not a Met Gala. It was something at the opera. Yeah. Yes. There was a party at the opera, and... Cunanan apparently told his friends that he had met Versace at this party. Unclear. I'm sure there were a lot of people at this party. I'm sure Versace was, you know, seeing a lot of people.
Right. Well, and the Versace family denied that they ever met. But I'm sure if you asked Gianni, he probably wouldn't have remembered, because famous people meet a lot of people. And when you meet Gianni Versace, it's a big deal for you. But when Gianni Versace meets you, it's not a big deal. So maybe there's something to blame about him not being personable enough, or sort of like...
Yeah, blame Versace.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's where we're going. I'll tell you.
Poor social skills.
I met Dave Patel once. He does not remember me. I don't think Dave Patel remembers me, and I will
not
be...
You can kill him.
Kill him if you want.
Hear me out. Hear me out for a second. Let's just go down this trail just for a second, okay? If you consider, if you're a famous person and you just consider everyone you come across to be a potential future murderer for you,
mm-hmm.
and you approach each interaction in that way,
yeah.
I have a feeling you would be very nice to everybody.
Or just you'd seem terrified. You'd seem like a crazy celebrity who's just scared of the world.
Right. A murderer if you don't treat them with sort of like respect, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I couldn't agree with you less. Like,
I'm only nice. I'm only nice because I think someone's going to kill me. That's the only reason I'm nice.
Yeah. Okay, you psycho. Thanks.
I miss Amanda. I feel like Amanda would back me up here.
No way. Now, we have to put... We're not putting Versace up on the board, but we are going to put the FBI and yes. mm-hmm. the local police. Two different things. Okay. According... This is an argument to put the FBI up on the board. New York Times says, Attorney General Janet Reno today thanked the public for helping in the manhunt and said criticism that the Bureau did not intensify the search for Mr. Cunanan until a celebrity was killed, and that was not fair. She noted that the Bureau had placed the fugitive on its most wanted list before Mr. Versace's slaying. Quote, there's a frustration when a tragedy like this occurs and you're constantly thinking what could have been done to prevent it, she said. What lead might I have followed? What might I have done? It's important that if we can learn anything from that, we do so. Janet Reno, at this time, this is just me speaking. I know it sounded like the she was busy on the news. Janet Reno, she's got Waco she's dealing with. She's got, you know, mid to late 90s, so many American tragedy, I mean, tragedies all over the world, but like...
But also miracles. I was born. 98. You know?
In oh my video. God, you were born after Versace.
Yes.
Wow.
It's possible that you are the reincarnation of...
There you Versace. Go, Chris.
Oh, wow. Oh my God, that's why you use his cologne. It has to be you.
He's on our podcast. Welcome, oh Versace. God.
Versace, we're so happy to have you.
I will say, Versace was played by a Venezuelan actor on the show. So,
okay.
That's all. That's my. I'm just saying, we only have one famous Venezuelan actor, Edgar Ramirez, and he was Versace.
So, if anything, Versace was going to reincarnate in Venezuela.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. And so it's you. It could be you because you were born in Venezuela as well. Okay. Are you all ready to get angry right now?
Yes.
Say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. Let's do this. AP News says, on July 7, Cunanan pawned a gold coin, signed his real name, and left his hotel address, his room number, and a thumbprint. As required by law, such information is sent to police so that they can investigate whether the goods are stolen. Cunanan's pawn slip was in police hands 5 days before Versace was shot. The officer in charge of the slip was unaware that Cunanan was being sought, even though he had set the slip aside for further investigation, and detectives never considered going through the mountain of paper pawn slips that are received every week on the chance that Cunanan's name was in there. For the record, Cunanan at this point had, this is me speaking, had already been on America's Most Wanted. Mm. Okay? This is according to Refinery 29. Part of the trouble stemmed from the fact that the search for Cunanan was based in Minnesota, where his first two victims were murdered and not in Miami. All tips and information were processed through the Minneapolis office. As the search became more extensive, the Minneapolis office, far from where Cunanan was at this point, became strained. Over 1,000 tips were called in. Aside from the pawn shop debacle, another missed opportunity to catch Cunanan came on July 11, when a cashier recognized Cunanan from America's Most Wanted and called the police. The police conducted a short search and missed Cunanan in a hotel nearby. Mm. Okay, this is a moment where apparently he was at a Miami Subs. This is so Miami.
Oh, I love Miami.
He was
Subs.
At a Miami, and this is another thing. Side note: he was, I guess, apparently known for during this killing spree. He stayed at the Normandy Hotel, which apparently is this, at this point, was this rundown hotel. And he would party at night and then eat pizza and Miami Subs all day.
That is Miami also lifestyle. My... Oh, sorry, Chris.
No go.
No, I'm just saying that is also my meal plan.
That's your meal plan.
Great meal plan.
That's how you can clap back to your mom and your or your family.
I was on the Cunanan diet. Well, yeah.
When they show up, just have a spread of pizza and subs. Just lay
down. Yeah. It's research, Mom. It's research.
So he gets spotted at this Miami Subs. The cashier calls the police. They're there in 8 minutes, which I don't know if that's short or long. Not quick enough for me if you're asking about a most wanted.
Well, the traffic in Miami is ridiculous.
I'm going to put traffic
they
on
have
the
those
board.
Beedoo deedoo lights. Come on. So the police conducted a short search. They miss him. A similar occurrence happened in July 16 when a sailboat owner, Guillermo Volpe, called the police to report that someone who resembled Cunanan had broken into the boat. Volpe told the Chicago Tribune that the investigators arrived 2 days after the call and waited 6 days to collect any relevant evidence. Mm. 2 days.
Amateurs.
So as we know, after he kills Versace, he goes into hiding and he's found in a houseboat not far from where Versace's mansion is. It's on 52 near 52 and Collins Avenue. Mm. And I'm Versace mansion is, I believe it's on 11th and Ocean Drive, 11th or 10th and Ocean Drive.
Right in the heart, huh?
Yeah. You can,
that's
it's
South
like,
Beach. That's like totally South Beach, capital S.
We used to go to the beach nearby on 13th Street. And we would always walk by the mansion, before his death and after. It was really, really sad. Anyway, he's found in this houseboat. He's not even found by the police, right? He's found by another guy who's walking by, and he notices that that houseboat belongs to this German neighbor he knows, and there seems to be someone there, but he knows that the guy's right. not in town, right. and so he's the one who calls the police. He apparently is the one who goes on the boat, and he had a gun with him, and so when he gets close to the boat, he hears a gunshot, and then he leaves. They think that's when Cunanan did kill himself.
Mm. So the local cops had a couple opportunities that they just whiffed on. So they've definitely got to be held accountable, or at least put up on the board.
Yeah.
They're up
put
there.
Put them up.
Okay.
Up. I also want to put up not using computers.
Tell me about it.
Go on.
This is according to AP News. Embarrassed that serial killer Andrew Cunanan's address was in their hands for weeks, in December 1997, this is just a few months later, Miami police computerized the city's pawn shop records so that fugitives wouldn't slip by them in the future. So they had the capabilities. They had computers. It's 1997. Like, I have a computer. I'm all up on the, you know, AIM, AOL.
We're preparing situation. For Y2K. So, like, computers are a big part of our world.
Like, I'm a kid on AOL. The police don't have the pawn slips up on their database?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is there something I'm missing? Because, like, are pawn shops generally associated with... that kind
not
of
great I things. Mean, I don't think people think pawn shop positive. It's just like someone at a sad point in their life going to the pawn shop, right?
Maybe. I guess so. I guess that's true. But at the same point, I wonder if they've gotten any like successful tips now that they have computerized the pawn shop system. It seems like one of those things where...
Yes, they do, because if you steal something, you're going to take it to the pawn shop.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right.
Chris, don't become a thief.
When you're at the pawn shop, you're pretty desperate, I would say. I mean, that's maybe just a generalization, but...
Yeah. No shade. I mean, I'm sure some good things happen at pawn shops. We can't generalize.
Respect to but all I'll the say, pawn shop owners.
The cops didn't care and didn't follow these clues. And because the deaths were queer men, were gay men.
Yes, I have to agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
And that still happens to now, especially with trans women of color. Like, that is absolutely still happens.
Do we put, like, apathy? Like not just, you know, something along those lines?
Is it homophobia or apathy?
I think it's homophobia-induced apathy.
Oh, I like that. I think that's on point.
That works.
Okay, great.
Now, I did put this out to the Alarmy for some listener suggestions, and I had my mom. My mom was the first one to reply.
All right.
And she said, I asked, who do you think is to blame? And she said, we were close to the Versace mansion when this happened. We were at the Hotel Delano. Do you remember?
That's okay. What thank you, Tita. Thank you, Tita, for that.
I had totally forgotten about this, but she is right. We were at the beach. I don't know why we were at the beach at 8 a.m. Wow. on a Tuesday, wow. but wow. we did do that because it was the summer. And the Delano is just, it's on 17th Street. So we were like 6 or 7 blocks away from this when it happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But then another, thank God, another listener did chime in with an actual suggestion. And this is coming from at Chaya and Chayan Sun Cat Sylvia. And they say fame and vulnerability surrounding the Versace name and brand.
Hmm.
So it's almost like she's or they are with you, Chris, in blaming Versace.
All right. Wow. Nice. I had a feeling somebody was going to really understand what I was going for there.
For the vulnerability. Honestly, I think they're talking about the exact same thing you're talking about, the vulnerability surrounding Versace and his name. Okay, we have a lot of stuff.
Yes, pretty good board here.
Is there anything we want to throw up last minute before we start crossing things off? Anything we missed?
I mean, Rebecca, sorry, how could we not say this?
Okay.
Fashion industry?
Holy shit.
What are we doing today?
I'm so sorry. This is my official resignation. I failed you all.
No.
No.
We do. We have to put up the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Let's see. We can get there. We can get there.
Yes. We'll back into a reason. Put it up there and
we'll consumerism, money.
There's so much clout. There's so much. Oh, it's what Fran was talking about. Clout obsessed.
Yes.
Wealth disparities.
Clout chasing. Yes.
That's so true. I mean, the fashion industry is a primary way that you can sort of distinguish yourself, sort of, you know, your wealth, your class,
your
you
sexy
know.
Body. What?
Sure, that too.
It helps you distinguish.
It's yeah. true.
It's
yeah,
up there. We got it though.
Okay, we got it.
Oh, it's in there.
All it right, we haven't right, let you but... down. Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to start crossing things off the list.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And we're back. Chris, why don't you hit us?
Who's to blame for the death of Versace? Darren Criss.
Gay acting role stealer.
I remember that now, but okay. Andrew Cunanan.
For being a serial killer.
This is probably the most absurd board we've ever done. The thrill of the hunt, drugs, bad friends, homophobia generally and internalized, Cunanan's father, myth of the American dream, childhood trauma and abandonment, clout chasing, capitalism, FBI, local police, not using computers, homophobic induced apathy, when Rebecca and her mom were close to the mansion during the murder.
Oh my God, I might be to blame.
Fame and vulnerability surrounding the Versace name and brand, or the fashion industry.
So let's start crossing things off this list.
Now, I know you guys are going to want to cross off Darren Criss.
Okay.
But I don't think we should just yet.
That was going to be, you know, I was going to take one for the team, you know? I was going to really, you know, we started with Darren Criss and we found out the things that might be a little bit more, you know.
Important?
Significant.
So, he did bow out. Yeah. He did bow out in an interview from taking any more gay roles. So I've forgiven him. He does play a very convincing gay man. So I don't blame him. So
it's not his acting that you have a problem with.
No, his acting is great.
It's more his agent. I mean, if anybody should be up on the board, it's the agent. Stop submitting him for these roles.
So, okay, fine. I know that you said not to, but I am going to take Darren Criss off the list. Now, Bad Friends. That still actually tracks. Can we take me and my mom off the list?
Yes, absolutely.
Just for being nearby during the murder.
How could you blame you?
Also, that I just want to say that's so Miami that I was near the... I was on South Beach during this time. What else here? Not using computers still tracks for me. The fashion industry is still there.
I feel like not using computers could maybe roll...
into the local police?
Yeah, only because they had the receipts. Like, they had the physical receipt in their possession. I know that... I don't know. Not sure having it on a database would have helped. Although maybe it would have.
Probably.
Yeah, it probably would have.
It would have at least dinged. It would have at least sent them an email or something.
We love those police who are kind of lazy. So even if they had the computers, it seems like they were like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the overriding thing to me too. I agree, Clayton.
Yeah, because that app, like that's, even if they had the little ding, another gay person's dead. The apathy.
Oh, well, there you go. So maybe we roll the police into the homophobic induced apathy.
I don't think so. Let's
keep,
because I feel like there's two things. There's the apathy and there's their shitty police skills.
Well, what is the apathy feeding into their shitty police skills? Because is it why they're shitty? Because it's a gay man who's murdered. Or are gay men that were murdered.
Yeah. I Although, yeah.
But I guess the fact that they were in a different state almost absolves them a little bit, because like your apathy could be applied because it's not happening in your state.
And jurisdiction stuff, you know, like you can't.
Right. I don't know.
I also think, like, for the record, this is Minnesota police and Miami police as well, because they were not efficient.
Right.
In you know, there's a serial killer on the loose. They had clues that Cunanan was in town. They had a spotting of him at the Miami Subs. Like, even if they miss this pawn shop thing, like, they're looking for him. They didn't show up to the houseboat, you know, until two days later.
Okay. So we'll keep the police for now, I think.
Keep the police on. How about drugs? Not good.
Not good. But it's like you don't just, a lot of people do drugs and they don't go killing people.
That's
like,
right.
They make, you make bad choices sometimes, especially meth. But like, not everyone's, if everyone was killing, we'd all be dead because everyone's on drugs, right? I'm high right now.
Every time I'm on drugs, it's Miami Subs and pizza.
He murders a sandwich every time.
Well, you know what? I can, if you're on drugs, murder the sandwich instead of a human. I'm behind that. I'm behind that. Okay. Have fun out there. Don't do meth, though.
Right.
Oh, God.
Cunanan, we've got him just for being a serial killer. The thrill of the hunt. We can probably fold that into Cunanan.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think Bad Friends, we should... like, try your best to get some good friends. Try your best to get some good friends who are like, where are you going? How come you're leaving San Francisco? Where are you going? First of all, where are you going and why are you going?
That can be part of it. Bad friends can be folded into maybe not homophobic, but just apathy in general. It's like, you know, they didn't care enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of us do also have bad friends and don't kill anybody.
Oh. Fran, you have good friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have great friends. I'm just saying some people have bad friends and kill people.
Yeah.
And don't kill
it's
people.
It's true.
But homophobia? Kunanen's father? Daddy? Keep dad up on the board?
Yeah. I feel like we could take capitalism out. I'm not really feeling capitalism. I mean...
And I feel like we can fold childhood trauma and abandonment into his dad. Because he did
the abandoning.
Yeah, he was. So we still have FBI, the local police, homophobia, Kunanen, homophobic induced apathy. I kind of like homophobic induced apathy better than just general homophobia for this one.
Okay, sure.
We also have fame and the vulnerability surrounding the Versace name. We can take that off.
That, and I feel like clout chasing are kind of like a similar, you know, like issues. It's not something to consider, but maybe not the source.
Yes.
Well, it makes you wonder, like, his motivation, right? Which we don't know, but if he sort of sees Versace as something of a contributor to this thing, this itch he can't seem to scratch, this like chasing the clout kind of thing that Fran was saying, that he can't seem to scratch, and he's almost like a way of addressing that in his way was to murder this guy. So I don't know what that would, it doesn't, I mean, fame is involved, but it's more about this guy Kunanen and his sort of mental state and his sort of like upbringing. And sort of, I think those are more contributing factors than fame itself or.
Yeah. Now, I think we can take the fashion industry off finally.
I'll tell you, I don't know. It does feel like we have the future, the justice. We are serving justice. So
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel powerful and fun?
And also a lot of responsibility.
It is. So true. You're perfect for this show, Fran.
All right.
So
we got,
what are we,
yeah,
what
we
are
got
we going to do? Yeah.
We got his father.
Wait, wait. What did you say again?
Who, me?
Yeah. Kunanen?
Kunanen.
Wait, did we get rid of clout chasing?
We folded that into Kunanen.
Got it.
Yes, and fame. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I really hope we're pronouncing that correctly.
We definitely are. Okay. Trust me.
Sorry. Yes, that's just
there are a few things I know in this world at 100%.
Oh, really?
And this is definitely.
Okay, good.
We got Kunanen, his father, the FBI, the local police, and homophobic-induced apathy. What are we thinking?
Well, I'm between two things. Look, there are a lot of people who have shitty dads and still don't become serial killers. So I think we can take Kunanen off. Because it's not like his dad was forcing him to be a serial killer.
Kunanen's father off. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't help. He didn't help the situation. And here's where I go back and forth, because we are discussing not Kunanen's serial killing spree. We are discussing the death of Versace. And the question is, could that have been stopped by police? Like, I know it's Kunanen who did the killing, right? But at this point, he's the fifth victim. And it's not like Kunanen is some like very skilled, secretive serial killer. He is a dope when it comes to all of this
to me,
stuff.
I kind of agree, but to me, the fact that he switched states in between his last murder and this one, it doesn't absolve the police, but I give them a break, I think, in this regard. I mean, it would have been really, really astute and top-notch police work if they would have bagged this guy going from, was it Minnesota?
Yeah.
To Florida.
He's killing people along the way, and he's leaving at one point he like changes, like they knew he was driving, either it was Madsen or Trail's car. I believe it was Madsen's car the second victim. He stole the car and he's driving it with, like, they have the license plate at this point. They know that it's from the very beginning. They knew they were looking for a man named Andrew Cunanan, mm-hmm. who was driving this guy's, like, car with these license plates. Yes, at some point he did go to a Walmart or something and, like, change right. license plates. But it wasn't a mystery. It wasn't like these other serial killers who you're like, wait, you don't even know who, right. they don't even know who they're looking for until right. the, you know, 10th right. victim or something.
Well, he goes right. Minneapolis, then Chicago, then Jersey, and then down to Florida. But yeah, sure. I mean,
so then it's so not
are we
local,
taking
right?
him off? Are we taking Cunanan off? Is that what we're doing right now?
We're not taking him off. But my question is, do we blame the police?
Always.
For not stopping him? Or, you know, for this particular death of Versace, could it have been avoided? Or do we call it this, do we have enough evidence to know that it's this homophobic induced apathy?
I mean, it feels like we're leaning towards a certain, I feel like we're getting there. Like, from what you're saying, I feel like you know what you want to say, and I'm so curious to hear you say it.
Me?
Yeah. I feel like ahead. You know what you want.
Wait, one second. So,
go, friend.
Chris, I agree with what you're saying when it comes to, like, you know, crossing borders, counties, whatever. So, yes, local police locally cannot be blamed. But FBI is everything. It's all over.
Mm.
So, you know.
Federal.
We have both options. And I think locally, I agree. Minnesota police is not going to come to Florida to fix this issue. But FBI, I think, is more of an overarching.
I like that, and I guess the question is: do we want to attribute that to the institution itself, or do we want to call that homophobic induced apathy? I mean, would they have cared more if they were, say, young women, say, young white women, say, young white straight women?
I just feel like with the fact that the FBI knew the name of the person, they had so much evidence. They knew who they were looking for these crimes. Mm-hmm. They knew where he was headed. I mean, look, we didn't have cameras everywhere like we do now. So it's harder to spot a vehicle with a license plate. We didn't have, you know, alerts on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cameras on every corner.
No find my iPhone?
No find my iPhone.
All right, so?
But I don't know. This is where I go. People are going to get mad at me if I don't send Cunanan to jail.
This is why it's your tough job to run yeah. this podcast. You got to make
like
the
you
tough
have
calls.
An idea. So,
I think we got to call it.
I think I'm going to call. Okay, I'm going to send Cunanan to jail. That's what I would do, and I'm going to slap this homophobic induced apathy that I think is you know, inside of the FBI and the local police.
So security,
it's just not on their priority.
Gotcha.
Because if it was, I don't know, Minnesota, call New Jersey. Okay, I'm going to call it homophobic induced apathy. You're getting the big slap. Andrew Cunanan, you serial killer, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Justice is served. Caso cerrado.
Fran, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for this very sad tragedy, the death of Versace.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I will be spraying some cologne in his honor.
After the death of Versace, on July 23rd, 1997, 8 days after Versace's murder, Andrew Cunanan turned a gun on himself this time and died by apparent suicide on a boathouse in Miami Beach. Cunanan's death ended the investigation into Versace's murder and the high-profile manhunt that it had sparked. Cunanan left no suicide note and instead left burning questions surrounding his motives, which remain unanswered to this day. You think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at the @AlarmistThe on Twitter, @TheAlarmistPodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Tenerife airport disaster.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.